The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful sweary.
And now...
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Again?
Rocking up my sleeve. Presto! No doubt about it. I gotta get another hat.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-face, dickhead, asshole!
You're listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. Welcome. Happy to have you. Joining me this week via the studio in the internet, Taylor.
Hello.
Hi, buddy. And JC.
Howdy.
Hi, buddy.
Howdy.
So I'll just get the goofy, awkward part out of the way right at the beginning. Hey, gang. We're doing a fundraiser. We are trying to get to the point where we can do a studio and an office and evolve to the next step on whatever the hell it is that I am doing here. But yeah, so we've got the fundraiser up. It's going through GoFundMe. I did a very soft and quiet launch, completely on accident. But yeah, I know it. I was playing with metadata and fucked off, and Facebook can read metadata. Did you know that? I didn't know that. So, basically it comes down to like this, and you may have seen this posted already, but when I started Defenestrate Media, one of our missions was to help provide, people, organizations, campaigns, nonprofits, you know, ballot measures, whatever, to provide them with an affordable way to make basically high dollar content at very, very closer to affordable pricing. Building out the studio gets us back on that mission, which is important to me. It's The Left Show is fun. The World's Greatest Comic Book Podcast is fun. You know, they are the shows that we flagship on. They're the two that have been around the longest. But it's bigger than that. It's about trying to do good in the world for people who are trying to do good in the world. And that's what we're fundraising for. So if you could help, please pop over to theleftshow.com. Right there at the top, you know, big fat link with a little video you can watch. I made a little video for you. I want this to be entertaining. And then this week I will be adding stretch goals to the fundraiser as well. Even though GoFundMe doesn't do that, I'll figure it out. By golly. We're going to make this work. The stretch goal is just be making a promise.
Yeah, Kickstarter, they don't really do it on Kickstarter either. It's just a matter of you make a promise. You say, if we reach this number, well, which is above your target number, if we reach this number, everybody gets this, or I will do this for everyone, you know.
That's good to know. Then I need to call it something else, because mine's like, if you give $250, I'll do this. If you give $500, I'll do this and this.
Oh, those are tiers. Yeah. And that, yeah, you're right. GoFundMe doesn't do tiers.
If you do $1,000, I don't know, take it in the mouth. I'm not sure. We'll figure it out.
Hey, man. You do what you got to do.
I'm trying to do good in the world.
You pay me that much, I'll be your hero.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, theleftshow.com. Fundraiser's right there at the top. It's not hidden. You know, normally I'm a lot more subtle. I'm gonna be a little more, you know, yardstick over the head this time around. Mm-hmm. See if maybe making more noise again will help us out. But regardless, you guys are great. Thanks for listening. We're gonna move on with the show. Basically, it comes down to this. Vladimir Putin can do whatever the fuck he wants, and nobody's going to stop him, least of all Tucker Carlson.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. I didn't even Tucker Carlson went to Russia.
Yes.
He went to interview Vladimir Putin.
Mm-hmm. His hero, his buddy.
Yep. Putin kept him waiting. I think we talked about this last week. Kept him waiting 2 hours.
Yep.
You know, and then made fun of him for not being able to get into the CIA. one of my favorite holy shit, this guy needs to be tackled and beaten moments was he went to a Russian grocery store and talked about how much better everything was than America, how much cheaper everything was than America, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Not at all a Kremlin-funded photo op for him to see.
Yep, no. Not at all. Yeah, that's the journalism level of Tucker Carlson. Yeah.
Yep. But what we know now is that Putin has murdered. Go ahead and sue me, you tiny Russian asshole. Putin is finally, well, actually, he'll probably poison me to death. But then again, then I don't have to worry about rent. Putin finally killed Alexei Navalny.
Mm-hmm.
Alexei Navalny has been probably the closest thing that Vladimir Putin has had to competition. If he were to be a fair play guy, I believe that Navalny would have been president, what, 14, 16 years ago?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. He's fought against Putin's government. He's was poisoned by KGB, or whatever the hell they're calling themselves now. Ended up getting better in Germany, and then knowing full well he'd end up in jail, went back to Russia because it was the right thing to do. But yeah, they're stating that he allegedly went for a walk in negative 20 degree weather, collapsed, lost consciousness.
Because that's what everybody does.
Yeah. Navalny, by far Russia's most famous opposition leader, rose to prominence more than a decade ago by lampooning the elite class around Vladimir Putin and voicing allegations of corruption on a vast scale. He was 47 years old when he was murdered.
He went for a walk after we pushed him out of shelter.
Yep. Yeah, and it's a shame too, man. This guy, there is, by the way, if you have Max, the blue square on your iPad, there is a CNN documentary about Alexei Navalny that is very good. It's a very well put together piece. So if you have time, go and watch that. A judge this week fined Donald Trump more than $350 million for being a cheaty little motherfucker, has barred him from running businesses in New York for 3 years.
Nice.
I heard an interesting take on that, that there's the way that he is not allowed to do business in New York for 3 years, he may not be able to finance anything if the banks have a headquarters in New York.
Yeah.
Every bank in the world has a headquarters in New York.
Oof.
I mean, it's the financial capital of the free world, for Christ's sake. What's he going to do? Borrow from the Congo? You know, is he going to find himself a Nigerian prince? Actually, we know what he's going to try and do. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Anyway, the state AG's office said that when factoring in the prejudgment interest on the fine, the amount exceeds $450 million. Not only that, Eric, Don Jr., and Ivanka were all also fined at least $1 million each, and they can't do business in New York for at least a year. So, Arthur...
They should have been restricted even longer.
Yeah.
Those three are up to... Those three are worse than that Trump ever was, yeah.
It's like... Do you remember Cloverfield?
Yeah.
So, you got the big monster all stomping around. Stomp, stomp, stomp. And then, if I recall correctly, it's the one where it had little guys that would jump off and run around?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, it was either that or Pacific Rim. I can't remember. But the little guys, they're the ones that were eating people, whereas Cloverfield or whatever, you know, was just stomping on things indiscriminately. These things would drop to the ground and would target and hunt and kill and eat, you know, people on a one-to-one basis. That's the Trump kids. They're the little monster lice, if you will. Most emphasis on lice. Because, I mean, seriously, take a look at Don Jr. Some kind of shampoo would really help that little guy out. He's so greasy now. Is that what cocaine does? Does it make you greasy?
Makes you greasy. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't done cocaine.
Was it Stewart who made fun of it, or was it Kleppert? When they showed some of the trial footage and just Eric, you know, the whole, I don't recall, you know, when they're doing their, and Eric just like, I don't recall. Like, he's really upset that he doesn't remember.
Yeah. I think that was John Stewart.
Yeah, I think it was Stewart who was making fun of that one.
That, by the way, is pretty much close to a highlight of the week.
Mm-hmm.
It was John Stewart being back on The Daily Show, even though he's basically pulling a Rachel Maddow and he's on Mondays. And then somebody else can bat the rest of the week because I watched John Stewart's on purpose. I watched Jordan Klemper, two of the three of his, basically because I just couldn't decide on anything else to watch. So, and Jordan Klepper is fucking great.
I have to admit, I watched the Klepper ones in highlights on YouTube.
Ah.
Whereas I watched the Stewart one all the way through. I watched the Klepper highlights on YouTube, and they were great. And I'm like, oh, I should have been watching those episodes. But yeah.
So in an almost cool ass name, it's Judge Arthur Engoron. You just throw a G, just one little G in there. You know, Engoron. Then he's got a badass name. But Engoron ordered the former president and the Trump Organization to pay $354 million in damages, barred them from serving as an officer or a director in any New York corporation or other legal entity in New York for a period of 3 years.
Nice.
Yep. So we've got that. In March, we started seating a jury for the Stormy Daniels trial. You know, for the cover up of campaign expense to hush money to Stormy Daniels, who, seriously, guys, have some respect for the trade, is an adult sex worker.
Mm-hmm.
Porn star is a term from the 70s that just doesn't work anymore. You know, what does that even mean when anybody can have an OnlyFans? You know, that's all. She's just an adult entertainer. Can we be that respectful? I understand how much fun it is to go, Donald Trump nailed a porn star, as opposed to he disappointed a woman who works in the sex trade. You know, I mean, really, when you come down to it, and I've listened to the story that Stormy Daniels tells about the incident where she was like, it's just easier to put out than it is to fight back. And it's like, it made me so incredibly frustrated and sad for her, you know, that's the way that she's going through her day to days with people acting like that, you know, and then to have it be with him, just like it's adding insult to injury. It just hurts my feelings for her. And I follow her on Twitter. She's hilarious. Mm-hmm. You know, the way she handles all the trolls. It's a lot of fun, but anyway, in a statement, Eric Trump called the judge a cruel man. Quote, he knows that every single witness testified to the fact that I had absolutely nothing to do with this case, as insane as the case truly is, Eric Trump said. He also attacked the ruling as political vengeance by a judge out to get my daddy. I'm sorry, father. But you, you know, that's only a recently broken habit.
Yes.
Daddy, stop with the daddy.
Would you grow up?
in a surprise cameo, Trump attorney Alina Haba.
Hey, we love her.
Yeah.
She's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yep. Called the verdict a manifest injustice, plain and simple. Manifest injustice. I love that. What a fun phrase. That's my new punk band.
Manifest injustice.
Yeah.
Well, we manifested our destiny, and now we've manifested an injustice against Trump. I think that's great.
I do too. I don't know if this counts as an injustice to the human race or just an adorable little humiliation. Mm-hmm. But in between Klan rallies over the weekend, Trump showed up at fucking Sneaker Con, where people who take shoes way too seriously gather together to talk about shoes too seriously. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who's a shoe. He's a shoey, shoe guy, Schubert, shoe. I don't know what you call them. Shoe fetishist, maybe?
No.
I don't know. Shoe collector.
Sure.
Particularly when it's the sneakers. The sneakers are the thing, right? That's the big shoe collector. You spend a lot of money on sneakers when you're trying to get the limited edition ones, yeah.
That's why I wear, you know, straight from the Army-Navy store, combat boots. They're cheap. I'm in for 40. They last a year. That's the deal. They work just fine.
Me, I'm like, I want to spend money. I'm willing to spend money on shoes. They better be high quality and last me 10 years kind of shoes. Not,
there you go.
You know, yeah.
So Donald Trump made an appearance at Sneaker Con in Philadelphia on Saturday to announce a new website that sells Trump-branded sneakers for upwards of $400. If you take a look at the fine print, this isn't part of Trump's effort to become president again. It's purely a way for Trump to make money as a businessman.
Because he can't get loans anymore.
Yeah, it's probably registered in Florida. Trump's relatively short speech at SpeakerCon was given on stage with banners that included the URL for the new website, gettrumpsneakers.com. Hey, I'll say it. If you want to click on it, go ahead, you weirdo. I'm not kidding. They look like a prop from a joke making fun of a politician selling shoes. You know what I mean? It's like something the Saturday Night Live prop crew turned out in a half an hour. They're awful.
I'm like, are these Eric's booties? You know, where they got dipped in gold instead of bronze? What are these?
So, yeah, they are the ones that I saw. They look like they're made of gold lame.
Mm-hmm.
They got a big T on the side and then stars and stripes around the top.
Yep.
I believe they're called the No Surrender.
Never Surrender high tops.
Yeah. Curiously, each pays has its own disclaimer. The $400 gold sneakers that warn the images shown are for illustration purposes only and may not be an exact representation of the product. And I'm looking at the picture of the shoe on the website, and then I'm looking at whatever the fuck he's holding, and they are not the same.
Nope. And there are people paying like $9,000 for signed pairs.
Yeah, I saw that one. I saw that article. Some dude, they did an auction of it, and he spent $9,080 on a pair of these Trump sneaks. And the best part is if you go and find the video, he was wildly booed the whole time he was up there.
Yeah.
Of course.
You know, that sneaker crowd was hostile. And in what, I'm so startled he didn't like freak the fuck out. He kind of took notice of it and made fun of it and kept on selling his goddamn sneakers. This guy would be probably, and probably should have been, you know, a semi-talented busker doing card tricks in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would have suited him far more than getting into fucking politics.
But this is the business Trump, and he can handle jeers and boos and stuff like that, because all he's doing is getting up and selling shit, like you said, busking. Yeah, this is business Trump. Split personality, you know.
Yeah, those are ugly ass shoes.
They are.
And then finally, to close out this segment, former Republican Party chair of Wisconsin, fake elector Andrew Hitt, told Anderson Cooper in 60 Minutes that he went along because he was scared of Trump and his supporters.
Mm-hmm.
On the 60 Minutes yesterday, as this drops, the interview between Anderson Cooper and Andrew Hitt. Andrew Hitt, can you imagine the repercussions on myself and my family if it was me, Andrew Hitt, who prevented Donald Trump from winning Wisconsin? Anderson Cooper, you say you were scared. Hit, absolutely. Anderson Cooper, scared of Trump supporters in your state? Hit. It was not a safe time. If my lawyer's right and the whole reason Trump loses Wisconsin is because of me, I'd be scared to death. You know what? So would I.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't change much of anything, but...
Nope. Nope.
No. I don't know. So, anyway, the other excuse came out 2 months ago when Hit went on a Wisconsin show and said that Trump lawyers had tricked them into doing it. Yep.
Now you're basically saying, okay, we knew we were tricked, but I was afraid for my life at that point.
Yeah, find a place. Yeah. Find a place. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a little break. When we get back on the other side, we're going to talk about the government.
I'm Chris Jakimick. I served in the United States Air Force, and I deployed 3 times. Being a veteran, it's interwoven into your DNA, is really the absence of the connection and the purpose that can really drive a lot of veterans to some negative thoughts. For those who are in a suicidal crisis, the window of time to save somebody's life is very short. Our duty is to protect ourselves and protect our families. And one way you can do that is store your weapons safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And Tiffany.
I just wanted to talk to you for a second about Patreon. At Patreon, you get special content every week that we record. We do a show on Patreon just for you, the listener. Now, what do we get in exchange for that? Cash money.
We're not rappers. I don't know what to do that. Cash money. Money rules everything around us.
It really does. It absolutely does, including the cost to host these shows. That's all this pays for. We don't do anything else fun with it because we still don't make enough in Patreon to cover the cost of hosting the show. So why don't you join us? It's a lot of fun. We're a little more inappropriate. We're a little more ribald. We're a little more risible.
Sometimes we're a little more high.
Yes.
Definitely more high.
Definitely more high. So join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia. Patreon.com, D-E-F-E-N media.
You are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
Kevin McCarthy may actually be getting some revenge for getting ousted by Matt Gaetz.
Nice.
The House Ethics Committee investigation started by McCarthy turns out may lead to the downfall of MAGA's pet weasel, Matt Gaetz.
That's a shame.
Yeah, really. Couldn't happen to a more deserving fella.
Darn it.
I know. When ABC News reported on Wednesday that the House Ethics Committee had acquired text messages between a young woman involved in the sex trafficking investigation and Rep. Matt Gaetz, a Gaetz spokesman told ABC that the congressman, quote, does not know anything about the woman you're referencing, end quote. That's because she's not a woman. She's a girl. Creep.
That's right.
Yep. The Daily Beast can now report that this woman told prosecutors in 2021 that she had sex with Gaetz at a drug-fueled party that she was paid to attend. Matt Gaetz leaves the speaker's office. That's weird. So anyway, Ethics Committee has the text messages, which they did not have before. And what do you want to bet? $5 to $1, Kevin McCarthy's the reason they've got him. More than just it being his committee.
Yeah, no, it's almost a guarantee there.
Yeah, Kevin McCarthy, slimy motherfucker. Always lying, always full of shit, always a garbage human being. But that said, I think he's wired for vengeance.
Oh, no, oh, totally sure. Is.
Yeah.
Well, garbage human being who ran up against a bigger garbage human being who basically fucked him out of the one job he always wanted. Right.
You know what? He gets his face in the Hall of Portraits. Overall, he's going to be happy about it.
But I would have gotten revenge on the motherfucker if I could have. So, you know, if I was in his, if I were in Kevin McCarthy's role and that happened to me, I'd be like, yeah, you're going down. Yep. That's it. I'm going to do something to take you out.
Yeah. one of the tweets in the article is a picture of Matt Gaetz and said woman saying, Gaetz is claiming he does not know anything about the woman you're referencing. Here he is at 10:53 p.m. on May 19th, 2017, taking a selfie with her. I don't know. I really would like to watch this guy fucking go to jail. Like, I almost want it more than I want Trump to go to jail. I just want Trump to go away. I want Matt Gaetz to go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, for sure. Speaking of Matt Gaetz, Matt Gaetz said he wouldn't watch the Super Bowl because of the Black National Anthem. Which, by the way, is a way prettier song than our national anthem. Just saying. Ours is weird. It's structured mm-hmm. funny. It's from experimental, at the time, poetry. You know, basically Francis Scott Key in today's day and age would be a fucking slam poet. No doubt about it. And the rocket's red glare, bursting in air. You could see it. But yeah, ahead of the Super Bowl, Representative Matt Gaetz, Florida Republican, said that he will not watch the game because of a scheduled performance of the Black National Anthem.
Racist.
Yeah, you think? And yeah, you call him racist. He's like, I'm not racist.
Did he not think they were going to?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Taylor.
Yes.
Okay.
He froze up on us.
Yeah, you.
Okay.
Jeff.
Yeah? What was the question?
I don't know.
Ah, the internet.
Such fun.
So the song was written as a hymn. The song written as a hymn was a poem by National Association for the Advancement of Colored Peoples leader James Weldon Johnson in 1900. Was later adopted by the NAACP and prominently used as a rallying cry during the Civil Rights Movement. The song became a landmark of African-American culture. According to Time Magazine, it was performed during meetings in which civil rights leaders planned the Montgomery bus boycott and has been quoted in speeches by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It's a beautiful song. It's a beautiful song. You know what? They also play God Bless America, and that's not our national anthem either.
No, nope. You know? But everybody, you had a lot of people standing there with their hands over their hearts for it anyway.
Yeah, I used to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I used to be the guy with little flags hanging off his windows. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not that guy anymore.
I still stand when the actual national anthem is played, but I did enjoy the performances of the other two songs. Yeah, I did enjoy it. But then I'm like, did you not think they were going to play the national anthem, Matt Gaetz, just because they were playing the Black national anthem, or are you just letting your racism show?
No, according to him quoting himself in what was probably a fake conversation, mm-hmm. he was upset that they were desecrating the national anthem by playing a different song before that. You know, look, Matt Gaetz, Usher is not my thing, sport. You know that? So when he was on, I left the room. I did something else. I went and found a snack, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm like, whatever. Okay. I don't give a shit. So I'm just, you know, this is just not for me. And then Alicia Keys came out and I was like, suddenly this is a little more for me. And then she went off and I was like, this isn't for me again. And went and did something else. That's what you do, sport. That was 2 minutes. That was 2 minutes of a beautiful lady singing a beautiful song with a beautiful voice and you can't fucking handle it. Jesus Christ. And I'm the fucking snowflake.
They marched out with the American flag and all the flags of the various branches of the military, which they then dipped with the national flag, with the American flag flying high so we could sing the national anthem. Should they not have brought out the other flags? Was that somehow cheapening the American flag coming out, Matt Gaetz? This is the questions I want answered
yeah,
from your weird sense of logic that I know is just that you're racist. That's all. Yeah.
I mean, the fucker, it's not like he served in the military or anything, so he probably does think that.
Mm-hmm.
Following the House's impeachment of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas by one vote, because they pulled Steve Scalise out of the fucking hospital. Which, by the way, Steve Scalise, you showing up in a fucking mask and asking reporters to stay back from you, fuck you. You duplicitous, hypocritical, double standard piece of shit. I just want to kick you in the cancerous nuts, you garbage person. Oh, he was one of the chief voices out there going, masks don't work. Social distancing doesn't work. Right? It's all government, blah, blah, blah. But you get a little bit of cancer, you little snowflake, and suddenly it's like, stay back. Don't tease me about my mask. There's nothing turns quicker on a dime than something bad happening to a Republican. And suddenly they're like, oh, this is a bad thing. Before, I thought it was somebody else's bad thing. Now it's a big bad thing. You know, we've had it here. We've had Republican lawmakers who suddenly have a gay kid and they're like, oh, maybe gays aren't so bad. Oh,
right.
Thank you. Welcome. It is. It's that I learned respect for women by having a daughter. Well, you probably should have had it before. You know what I'm saying? Just a little bit. Just a kernel of it. You shouldn't need a major life event to treat other human beings like people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Steve Scalise, not people.
Not people at all.
No.
I don't have to be nice to him. You know, geez, it's his cancer. Look, I say that having already had cancer twice. So I get to say this. Nothing. Oh, that was hilarious. Anyway, Alejandro Mayorkas by a single vote. Steve Scalise came out of the hospital to make that vote. This didn't sit well with former Republican turned Democratic strategist Kurt Bardella, who raged against the House leader on MSNBC, saying, after you heard that interview, what are your thoughts? Tell me your reaction immediately, not only to the vote, but to the narrative that this is continuing to be pushed. And the answer is, what a gaslighting liar that Steve Scalise is. He is full of it. This idea that if you don't do what we say, you want open borders, that is utter nonsense. The idea that we want to compromise, you'll come to an agreement in a room, and then Donald Trump will say, don't make any agreement, and all of a sudden it would fall apart. How many times have we seen that story play out? The idea that Steve Scalise, this dude, he's upset. The idea that Steve Scalise or any other Republican are going to get something done, saying we're tired of passing things that look good but don't do anything. You know, what are you guys? Did you guys not do right now? You just passed an impeachment, and he's never going to be removed from office. Don't give me that. He sits and he talks about the American people being tired of this and that. The American people voted overwhelmingly for Joe Biden, and Joe Biden appointed the Homeland Security Secretary. And if you're undermining the will of the people, don't sit there and tell me what the American people want. He continued, by the way, I thought Donald Trump was supposed to fix the border in the first place. Wasn't Mexico supposed to pay for a border wall? Whatever happened to that? Where's the check? The amount of lying and gaslighting that we just saw from Steve Scalise is amazing. He was upset.
A little bit.
Yeah, Bardella. Good for him. Good for him.
Clippard had a clip of Speaker of the House, John Smith, whatever his fucking name is.
Mike Johnson.
What is it?
Mike Johnson.
Mike Johnson. It's some generic name. I don't know.
John Smith.
But he had a clip of him, 4 to 6 years ago saying, oh, well, strictly partisan impeachment should never be done.
Yeah.
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 Okay. This one has the flavor of surreal.
Mm-hmm.
Ron DeSantis ended his presidential campaign a couple weeks ago and returned to Florida, tail tucked between his stubby little legs and his high-heeled boots. Having failed in his effort to be the biggest asshole in the Republican presidential primary. but not for lack of trying.
No.
Anyway, once he passed through America's urethra into its limp, dangling, useless peen. I love this article. So, Florida is a dangling, useless peen. Perfect. He pretended not to notice that while he was gone, all those wingnut parents he empowered to ban books in schools and libraries might have overdone it. So the asshole who came up with the goddamn idea in the world and named his pack Never Back Down is now backing down and asking the state legislature to fix what he fucked up. And not by fixing it, but fixing it by limiting the number of books people can challenge. Because basically, some parents were challenging some books, and then some right-wing activists were showing up and just everything.
Yeah.
Anything. Mm-hmm. James and the Giant Peach. Ban it! Peaches don't get that big. It's Satan. So many things. But he says, if you go to a school board meeting, if you have a kid in that school, okay. But if you're somebody who doesn't have a kid in school and you're just going to object to 100 books, no. I don't think that's appropriate. So I think the legislature is interested in limiting what the number of challenges you can do and maybe making it be contingent on whether you actually have kids in the school or not. We just want to make sure that we're not trying to incentivize frivolous objections or any type of games being played. What the fuck are you talking about? you're like, I'm going to make taking a shit on myself. I'm going to make shitting my pants against the law, says the man who shits his pants. It's not going to work.
It's like that scene in Footloose where John Lithgow gets told, hey, they're burning books, and he goes running out, and it's like it's his fault they're burning books because he's been just drumming up all of this hatred in the town for everything that the teenagers want to do. And he goes out, he's like, you need to stop. Everybody needs to go home and pray. I'm like, that's what this fucker sounds like. I'm like, you're the reason why they're doing it, dummy. You may not have said go burn these books, but you've just pushed them in that direction. Yeah.
It's basically the equivalent of Jim Jones going, why are you guys drinking my poison stuff?
Exactly.
I was saving that. It's funny because we can't keep a block of cheese for more than a half a day in this house. You know? I'm just saying. Sometimes you get addicted. You got to have it. Doesn't matter if somebody's saving it for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Got to have the cheese. There was an article not too long ago about how cheese is addictive because it can trigger certain dopamine releases. Mm-hmm. And that some people who have a lot of dairy or a lot of cheese do it because it gets them a certain kind of high. I'll take that.
Are you a cheese freebaser, Jeff?
You know, yeah, melt that shit. Get it hot. No, I do. I like. I want to drive to Pirate O's to get that goddamn bread cheese. Just because I want that goddamn bread cheese, I would make a drive into what is basically the desert, you know, wasteland of Mormon suburbia just to get a hunk of cheese because they don't have it in regular supermarkets.
Mm-hmm.
It's very frustrating. I think I am. I think I have a problem. But admitting it empowers me.
It's not necessarily the first step, but it does empower you.
No, but it also reminded me I'm going to go buy some cheese when we're done. So.
I was going to say, it empowers you to eat more cheese. That's what it empowers you to do.
I can't help it. I'm addicted. All right, we're going to take a little break. We'll get back on the other side. We're going to talk about the government some more.
Woo!
When it comes to a gun suicide attempt, all it takes is a moment.
My son, Ricky, took his life by the use of a firearm. It broke me, and I contemplated suicide. My grandson, I was going to have to be here for him. I still own my firearm. I keep it in a safe because I want to keep my grandson and myself safe.
Store your guns locked, unloaded, and away from ammo. Hear more safe stories at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast, we remember Bob Edwards and Paul Neary. George Santos is suing Jimmy Kimmel.
Fuck around and find out.
Who is Paramount courting this week for a merger?
Mount Cock?
In moving pictures, Marvel's First Family has been cast. Deadpool and Wolverine teases the death of the X-Men franchise. Luc Besson will direct Dracula.
Hope it's better than Valerian.
Paramount laid off 800 people 2 days after the Super Bowl.
To make more money.
Comics, a Star Trek Pride special is coming in time for Pride Month. Jessica Jones is getting a crime novel. We review Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, Night Thrasher, and Penthouse Comics.
I'm only here for the article.
All that, and what two new series is Marvel planning?
The articles of clothing she dropped on the floor.
Face from True Believers is the world's greatest comic book podcast. Available Tuesdays at thecomicbookpodcast.com and everywhere you find podcasts.
I could put up with a little algebra. I could put up with a little calculus. But geometry, where I draw the line. I like John Fetterman.
Me too.
Hey, there you go.
I
didn't know you wanted me to say it again.
No, we're doing it over because I was like, oh, we should record this. No, I, you know, if someday I'm elected to the Senate, I don't have to wear a suit every day. And unlike it being Jim Jordan, who can't put on a suit coat to save his fucking life, this one's Fetterman, who is Betterman and makes me happy. But John Fetterman had himself a temper tantrum this week with the tragedy of Putin's murder of Alexei Navalny. It's long past time to have less patience for the traitors among us, for the Tucker Carlsons, Mike Johnsons, and Donald Trumps, the over half of the Republican Senate caucus who voted against aiding Ukraine in its existential fight for survival. So it was refreshing to see a senator, especially Senator John Fetterman, who's proven again and again that he will not put up with Republican bullshit, hit Rand Paul for doing Vladimir Putin's dirty work. Paul, in a naked attempt to aid the murderous dictator. By the way, that's something that his dad did, too. That was something that Ron took Russia's position on the Crimea invasion after the Olympics. He was anti-NATO. You know, his campaign manager and nephew-in-law was convicted of funneling Russian money to Trump. So Fetterman called Rand Paul a prick and a peckerhead and made sure to tell any media that would listen that Paul was to blame for their predicament. He was on the offense, defining the opposition and messaging the truth using language he knew would guarantee coverage. You know, like we need Democrats to do. Let me put a pin in this really quick and have myself a little soapbox moment. Mm-hmm. Dear Democrats, any one of you that has a copy of George Lakoff's book, Don't Think of an Elephant, grab that book, get a running start, and club yourself in the face. Because that fucking book ruined this party and helped lead to a Trump presidency. George Lakoff did more to fuck up America than the 9/11 terrorists. So put that fucking book down, get your dander up, and go out and throw some verbal fisticuffs.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to fight back. It's time to stand up. You know, look at the guy. What's his name? Snafu or Sneezy or I can't remember his name. Who ran for the Santos seat and got it back? Snuffy.
Yeah.
Snuffy's the janitor on Futurama, not Snuffy. Anyway, I can't remember the dude's name, but you know what he did? He just fought. He just fought back. He went on the offensive right at the beginning, and he stayed there, and he beat that. If you haven't seen the Jordan Klemper race, go to the Daily Show's YouTube and find it. It's fucking brilliant. But yeah, basically this lady who's actually a Democrat, who is an Ethiopian Jew,
mm-hmm.
who is, oh, what else was it? There was like all of these things that it's like, wow, what a perfect left-wing candidate running as a rabid anti-immigration Republican. It's a weird race, man. It was a weird race from the guy who lost his run for the governor. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's how he lost his seat. He didn't lose running for Congress. He lost running for governor. But still, I mean, whatever it comes to. But yeah, we need more Democrats fighting back. You know, we're slowly getting better, but we don't have time. We don't have time for your tippy toe penny ante bullshit right now. Mm-hmm. You know, we need quarter antes and 50 cent piece, 2-bit antes, 4-bit antes. Little poker talk. So you think I know what I'm talking about? I don't know what I'm talking about. I know the antes, the money you throw in to start playing poker. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what you throw in your play poker.
Okay,
yeah.
Just making sure. I mean, if I'm going to use a phrase, I hope to understand it.
If you're going to play the hand, you throw in an ante, and then after that, you start the wagering.
Yep. So anyway, to quote Fetterman, we're only here because of just one prick. It's incredibly frustrating, and there's no work being done. It's just bad performance art. God damn, I love John Fetterman. It's bad performance art.
Bad performance art. I love this guy.
Everybody hates Mike Johnson and thinks he sucks, even his Republican colleagues.
What?
Yeah. Just yesterday, folks were talking about Johnson's own GOP colleagues are extremely confused as to what the fuck the dude is even trying to do with Ukraine funding, what he even wants, and looking back longingly on the time when excellent smart speaker Kevin McCarthy was running things. But it's not just that. It's way more. This dude God chose as a joke can't accomplish anything. It's like God decided to do a show and tell on why conservative white guys are not necessary for anything anywhere. Jake Sherman from Punch Bowl says, we're in a bad spot, and that's the understatement of the century, a Republican leadership person told him. Another quote. In all the time I've been covering Congress and written about the Republican leadership, I've never had more people come to me in the leadership and say, we were spot on what we'd written. They've basically been writing about the fact that everybody hates Mike Johnson. Another quote, if patience running very thin with Johnson has the overwhelming message I've gotten.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, folks, God chose him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because God has a delightful sense of humor sometimes. Usually a sick sense of humor, but this time it's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the last one? Was it Sarah Palin that got chosen by God to run? Santorum? Ted Cruz?
Santorum got chosen by God, yeah.
Yeah, Ted Cruz said he got chosen by God, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
This silly God.
Yeah, maybe it's a trickster god. Maybe it's Coyote.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Anyway, funny stuff. A GOP lawmaker hit Tucker Carlson with a wicked label for his Russian grocery store love. We brought this up a little earlier, but Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina, just not having it. Just not having it with Tucker Carlson's Moscow trip. Tillis slammed Carlson over footage that showed the conservative pundit praising a Russian grocery store's experience during a widely condemned trip he took to Moscow. Ah, yes. Russia is so much better than the U.S. with all those cheap groceries and lavish subway stations, Tom Tillis wrote. The Soviets had a term for people like Tucker, useful idiots.
Yep.
Yep. Former Fox News host also faced criticism for his softball questions in his recent interview with Putin. Applauded a shopping cart coin lock system. Okay. Carlson later gushed about the shopping cart escalator. We have one at the Walmart just down the street.
Yeah, I've seen the Walmart ones, yeah.
Don't get me wrong, it's cool. What sucks about it, and it does suck, but what sucks about it is that I can't ride it.
Mm.
They put it in the thing so you can't go up and down the escalator in a cart.
Can't get in it. Yep.
Yep. I've looked at it from several different ways, and the only way to do it is more dangerous than doing it. So I'm not to do it. Remarked on a loaf of bread. Then he praised the total price of his groceries at checkout, estimating that the items would cost $400 in the U.S., but saying that the Russian store only charged $104 for them. Quote, Coming to a Russian grocery store, the heart of evil, and seeing what things cost and how they live will radicalize you against our leaders, Carlson declared. That's how I feel anyway. Radicalized. Yeah, dude. Oh. Move there.
Just you know. Stay. Just, and also, he's terrified of asking hardball questions to Putin because he knows he'd just be disappeared after that.
Oh, yes. Very, very tough question you ask. Would you care for a cup of tea? Don't drink Putin tea. That's bad.
It's 20 below zero outside. Do you want to go for a walk in your underwear?
It's time for a skip about, yes? Fearless leader wants you to go out and play in the snow.
Anybody? Rocky Bullwinkle out there in listening land? No?
I'm there. I'm with you.
I know you're with me. We're the only two people on this show with AARP card.
I have AARP. What are you talking about?
Do you really?
Yeah, you don't. You have to be 18 to get it.
But do you have it?
Yeah, so I got it.
Oh, outstanding. All three of us then. Yeah, there's only three of us that are, or two of us that are target demographics of the AARP.
Well, maybe true. People should read that you can do it when you're 18.
Honestly, had I known, I would have. Years and years and years ago. I mean, the first time you go to Denny's, you get 15% off. You pay for it right there. Well, I don't know how you eat it at Denny's, but I eat a lot. I like Denny's. I think it's nostalgia.
It's nostalgia.
Yeah.
Every time I've gone to Denny's, I've been like, oh, yeah, that's what disappointment tastes like. Because it's just not what we had when we were younger and just throwing whatever cash, whatever dollar or whatever coins we had in our pocket onto the table to say, okay, I can afford coffee and some French fries with ranch dressing. And then we just sat there smoking cigarettes and having a great time.
That's all we did when I was a teenager. We'd go to a show at Kilby Court, and then we'd go to Denny's after.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the only thing. It was the only thing open in Utah County, so that was where the kids congregated. We'd go down to the Denny's. We'd have the French fries and ranch, you know, or as they called it at the time, French fries and smegma.
Yep.
And every once in a while, I would splurge and get a small side of mashed potatoes and gravy. Which, by the way, is, I believe, how I kind of side-saddled into my addiction to poutine. Because you could dip your fries in that gravy. Oh, it was awesome. Way better than cheese. Yeah. So, Tucker Carlson, American traitor.
Yes.
And then I was going to start the segment with this one, and then I decided to end the show with this one. But the scariest thing in Florida is apparently a short transgender kid. Aaron Reed of Aaron in the Morning documented a shocking encounter. Senator stopped to say hello. Senator Summers. He was there, you know, and was kind of chit-chatting with the kids. I do it. I do it when the kids come into the store. I'm nice to kids. You know, and that's when the mom said to him that she was there with the kids to talk to legislators about keeping her kids safe. So Senator Summers says, oh, you know what? We're working on that. And I'm going to protect kids just like you, he says to the little kid. At which point mom says, yeah, Alex is trans and she wants to be safe at school. She just wants to go to the bathroom and be safe. Summers stood up and ran away.
This makes sense.
Yep. When asked if he would make her go to a boy's bathroom, he then allegedly, the little kid, are you going to make me go to a boy's bathroom? Asks the little kid, and he's just like, you're attacking me. Turned around and ran away. You know what? I got these two teenage boys, very, very like 13, that come into the shop from time to time to try and get me to buy fake Pokemon cards, you know, and they're little bullies. They are just the most rotten of children. And I can't help but just be nice to them. You know, I tease them a little bit, but, you know, these are kids that obviously don't even deserve to be treated nice, and I'm at least respectful to them. Whereas this fucking senator meets a trans child and runs away saying that the child attacked him by saying, please don't fuck up my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's obscene. I mean, the fight card for the night of my life that will never happen because all of these Republicans are too chicken to fight me, which I don't get anymore. 20 years ago, me, absolutely, I wouldn't fight me either. Now? Stupid dog's got too long nails because he nips at me when I try and dribble. And you people won't fight me. But yeah, this is another guy. Add him to the fight card. Put him on towards the end when I'm running out of steam. I got a feeling he's not going to be that big a hurdle.
You're attacking me.
Yes, I am.
That's why we're here, motherfucker.
Yep. I'm just saying the only thing that could make this story better from the point of the little transgender kid is if Alex had chased the senator.
No, wait. Are you going to make me use the boys' bathroom? No, wait. Tell me. Are you going to make...
Back. Stop running away, old white man. Come back. Oh, I'm being oppressed. Oh, my God. I state again for the record, and you're calling me a snowflake.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I can talk to a Republican without getting frightened and running away. You can't talk to a trans child? What a yutz. Okay. All right. Big, deep breaths, everybody. We're at the end of the show. I'd like to invite all of you to join us over on Patreon. Patreon.com/DefenMedia, D-E-F-E-N Media. That's where every week that we record, we go over there and we do a little extra show. A little spicier. A little more naughty talk. That we do over in the Patreon. It's behind the paywall, so we feel a little freer over there. I know it's a little ironic, but what are you going to do? I am freer behind the paywall. Anyway, Defend Media. That's where we're at. Patreon.com/DefendMedia. And then again, I ask humbly, with hat in hand, literally. I'm not taking it off my head. I'm just going to hold on to it. You know, pop over to theleftshow.com. Join us in building out this studio. Take a look at the fundraiser page. See the kind of incentives that I'm going to be throwing in there. I'm even going to see if I can get Jason Williams to do another couple of pages of 50 Shades of Grey. If he'll do it. He's just hard to get a hold of these days. But he's done it before. It's just that particular hard drive is sitting over here in a box in a static bag. Do you know how much data recovery costs? Holy shit. If I'm not in a hurry and can wait up to 3 months, then doing data recovery on my hard drive, my little 1 terabyte hard drive, $700 was the cheapest price I got quoted for full data recovery.
I'll do it for you. I mean, as long as I can hook up my SATA cable to it.
Nope.
I'll do it.
Doesn't work.
Because I got
one too.
I just pulled this one out of my this hard drive out of a backup I had because it just stopped taking the USB port.
Yep.
And I open it up. I'm like, look, it's got a SATA plug. So I'm just going to connect it and do data recovery off this thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it doesn't work. I have one of those too. That didn't work. Plugging it in didn't work. Running it this other way, hooking it to another computer didn't work. It's just everything's just locked behind this big fucking failure. And, you know, like I said, they've got the tools for it, and they're in no hurry because they charge so goddamn much. But that doesn't matter because I rebuilt the shows from scratch anyway. So
that's fair.
Well, yeah. Now I'm just being boring as shit. Join us over at patreon.com. What do you guys say? Thanks again for doing the show with me. Thanks again, you folks, for listening. And now if you would be so kind as to do what the British lady says.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon, patreon.com/defenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.